It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. So what was that traffic jam in Englewood Cliffs last night? And 100 people standing outside in the biblical downpour when they couldn't get into a public hearing? It was one of the new developments in the battle between the electronics company LG and many of its New York and New Jersey neighbors. LG wants to become the first to build above the tree line in Englewood Cliffs. That would mar New York's view of the Palisades, which is an interstate park and a national historic landmark. The view is currently all cliffs and trees from north of the George Washington Bridge, pretty much all the way up to Bear Mountain. The growing list of opponents now includes the head of the National Park Service, who just came out the other day, and Senator Schumer, adding their voices in the last few days to four former New Jersey governors, the mayors of six cities around Englewood Cliffs. We'll talk to one of them in a minute. Governor Cuomo, very much those residents of Washington Heights who have river views or use for Tryon Park, and all the environmental groups. Now, that public hearing last night in Englewood Cliffs drew hundreds, including those 100 or so who couldn't fit in the school auditorium where the meeting was and stood outside in the deluge with their protest signs anyway. Reporter Kim Ludak from the Record newspaper was there. Hi, Kim. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
And for people not following this issue, there has always been a height limit of 35 feet behind the Palisades, so no building breaches the tree line. What exactly does LG want to build?
Well, LG wants to build a 143-foot structure, obviously far exceeding the limit. They say it's going to be – they're going to try for LEED certification. It's going to be a very green, very environmental building. Obviously, conservationists disagree.
And one of the speakers in opposition, I heard from someone who was there, somebody used to be a Tenafly city engineer, said if the height limit is 35 feet, to go to over 100 feet higher just like that without much debate, I mean, that's a big deal. So.
Yeah, and that's why people are upset, yeah.
So the city of Englewood Cliffs issued a variance allowing LG an exception to the 35-foot limit. Why did they do that? Did they suddenly stop caring about protecting that natural vista?
To be perfectly honest, I wasn't there in 2012 when they approved it, but I can tell you at the time there was very little opposition. So I don't think that they were really thinking that this was going to be a huge impact. I mean, I've seen news articles. There were maybe 8 people who testified. This opposition that's come out now is new. It's probably in the last year or so that people have really started to take note and start to oppose this building.
And I know, again, one of those there last night, speaking in opposition, said it was all hush, hush, rush, rush in that original round and language that was intended for people not to notice, but eventually people started to notice. So what happened at the hearing last night? Can you set the scene?
Sure. It was intense. The capacity of the room in itself was 350. The room was filled. Like you said, at one point there were at least 100 people who weren't allowed in the room and who had to stand outside in the rain. They had 2 police officers security wanding people, which I don't think I've ever seen at a planning board meeting before. So, and there was a lot of emotion. I mean, there were the usual suspects. You had a lot of environmentalists raising concerns about the impact that it would have on the view shed and that it would potentially open up the door to future development. But on the other side, you also had a lot of supporters there. I saw there was a very strong trades union presence. The trades unions have been very supportive of this project, which is estimated to generate somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,200 construction jobs. You had a lot of labor leaders coming up and saying, you know, our members, they've been struggling in the last 5 years. They've lost their homes. Marriages have broken up. And this project, they believe, is going to help them.
And do they have a response to the argument that the opposition makes that all they're asking LG to do is build more horizontally and less vertically? They have enough property to do that on, same number of offices, same number of jobs, same number of construction jobs to put the place together. What do the trade unions say about that?
That didn't really come up last night. The argument that LG has made is that for them, it makes the best economic sense to have this project done and have all of their workers in by 2017. And if they had to go back and redesign the building, then you have the delay of redesigning it, and then you have to go back for town approvals, and it would just mess up the timeline. And they argue then all those people, those workers who supposedly who are struggling financially right now, they're going to have to wait for jobs.
They would have to wait, it sounds like.
Right.
So they wouldn't have the construction work right now. They'd have to go back and redesign and go through another approval process for another year or however long it takes, and so the construction would be delayed. I guess that's what the union doesn't like.
Right.
You said they were wanding people? What did they
yeah,
did they
the,
think,
the producer,
you know, an environmentalist from Fort Tryon Park was going to shoot Mayor Parisi? Or what was that about?
I don't know. It's like I said, it's the first time I've ever seen that at a planning board meeting.
But. So, folks, that's how intense it was at the Englewood Cliffs public hearing last night on whether to allow LG and eventually others to build above the tree line above the Palisades there. And I would like to invite phone calls on this. And I'm sure we have environmentalists, Upper Manhattanites who don't like it one bit. And you can call. I also wonder who's listening in Englewood Cliffs. And if there is buzz on your block or in your building on this issue, one way or the other, Englewood Cliffs is divided from what I could tell. But Englewood Cliffs folks, do you want New Yorkers and everyone else to butt out of your city's economic business? Or is it more complicated than that for you? I know some city residents don't like the idea of more density, more traffic, things like that, if that becomes a higher office building commercial strip there. 212-433-WNYC from Englewood Cliffs or anywhere else. 212-433-9692. If you have gotten your head around this LG building proposal 100 plus feet above the tree line, or I guess it's 100 plus feet above the old height limit, somewhat above the tree line of the Palisades, 212-433-9692. And we'll talk to a neighboring mayor in just a minute. We continue with Kim Ludak from The Record. And while your calls are coming in, folks, several people who attended last night's meeting on the opposition side emailed me on what they saw and heard. One thing they reported was that the town's planner did acknowledge that if they get their way, LG won't have the only building to stick out above the tree line, even though that's been the issue to date. They want more commercial development along that whole strip of Sylvan Avenue for the sake of jobs, rezoning the height limit for the ability to build above the tree line the whole way. So this is a global declaration by Englewood Cliffs of the tree line doesn't matter anymore after 100 years of protection. Is that your understanding from your reporting, Kim?
It is. One thing I should note, though, and the LG building is the largest by far property in that zone. It's the zoning would affect 15 properties, and most of them are anywhere between, you know, a third of an acre to just over 1 acre. So theoretically, if somebody wanted to, they could buy up several of those properties and build maybe a six-story building. LG would be the only building that could actually build it to up to 150 feet, that property right there.
So I guess
you could theoretically have a couple six-story buildings, but no 150 feet.
Yeah,
buildings.
Though I guess the fear on the part of the environmentalists is that once Englewood Cliffs does it, then other towns along that stretch, and they say all the way up to Bear Mountain, might do the same thing once the tree line is breached and the precedent is set and the temptation of having, you know, higher office development there just is determined to outweigh the environmental preservation. I was told, by the way, that the city planner said one reason to build LG up rather than out is that young professionals want views from their offices. And that would be ironic since the controversy is so much about ruining other people's views. But you heard that argument?
Yeah, that's in the plan. The plan that Paul Phillips, the planner, put together specifically states that the kind of sprawling, low-rise office campuses that are in other parts of Englewood Cliffs, those are not the kind of buildings that modern corporations want. They want tall office buildings with, spectacular views of the city and of the river, And if Englewood Cliffs wants to be able to compete with cities like Hoboken and Jersey City, they need to allow that kind of construction.
And I was told that State Senator Espaillat from Upper Manhattan got some hearty applause when he said Englewood Cliffs should no more control the Palisades on its own than Fort Lee can control traffic on the George Washington Bridge. Kapow.
Yeah,
take that, Chris Christie. Yeah, did it get a laugh?
Yeah.
All right. Also with us now is Paul Tomasco, the mayor of Alpine, the town to the north of Englewood Cliffs. Thanks for coming on, Mayor Tomasco.
You're welcome, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Why are you involved in this as an opponent? From the New York side, the reason for the opposition is obvious. It's the view. But why you as a neighboring New Jersey mayor?
Because I like a lot of people in this area, in New Jersey in particular, Brian, care about the Palisades. It's a beautiful stretch of unspoiled natural cliffs and land that many people have worked hard for at least 100 years to maintain. And we don't see the need for it to, at this particular time and in the way that's playing out before us, for it to be jeopardized. In fact, we've been advocating for compromise. I, in particular, got started on this over a year ago, simply asking for people to get together and get rid of this by lowering the height of the building in there, by doing what's in not only LG's interests but everyone else's around here, and as far as the unions are concerned, having the jobs online sooner. Rather than let the court process play itself out for who knows how long, because all these environmental groups are not going to go away. Their concern is genuine, just as everybody else involved in this growing movement concern is.
Does it affect Alpine in a negative way directly? Do you get more traffic, more density as a result that the people there don't want?
I don't think it's that kind of situation. I think it's a genuine concern for the protection of what is a national monument and a natural and historic monument as well. We don't see the need for it. We would surely be happy to see LG there, but in a building that's simply lower, 35 feet, or at least no higher than the tree line. It just seems so unnecessary that this has gone on as long as it has, when never have I been involved in an issue where the solution is so obvious and so simple as to lower the height, make everybody happy, and avoid the alienation of LG's customers.
They'll go out and buy Samsung in protest, right? That would be the worst thing they could do. Wouldn't you want, as a mayor, though, the right to economic development the way you want, not how Englewood Cliffs or any of your other neighbors wants?
What I try to do is be aware of the precedents that might be set, as well as the history of this. I'm not only concerned, like the people I'm hearing from, Brian, about protecting the Palisades, but also we want to maintain the character of our town. Art, you flatter us when you refer to us as a city. We, like Englewood Cliffs and Tenafly, are municipalities. We're not like Jersey City. We're not like Hoboken, and we want to stay that way. We want to maintain the character of our and essential nature of our town, which is why people came here in the first place, not to be in the shadow of a large large office building or whatever.
Let me get one more reaction from you, and then we'll take some calls and continue with Kim Ludeck from The Record. Her paper took an editorial stand this week against the state seizing home rule from Englewood Cliffs on this issue, because the state legislature is now considering a bill that I guess would have to be signed by the governor to declare this a statewide issue, a Palisades-wide issue, and therefore, you know, usurp the authority from Englewood Cliffs as a city to decide this on their own, building above the tree line. And it would be retroactive. They would undo the height variance that Englewood Cliffs had already approved by an act of the state. Now, The Record says the LG building may be a good idea, maybe a bad idea. That's an issue for debate. But it'd be worse for the state to meddle like that in local affairs, retroactively, no less. How much of that do you agree or disagree with as a mayor?
I don't particularly want the state to be involved any more than it needs to be. But this situation transcends the normal local zoning prerogatives, which very well may have been abused here, insofar as it wasn't done with enough people and enough consultation before variances were granted. And to back up the variances with a zoning change seems to me to be a very unusual move and indicative of the kind of support that the people in the governing body in Englewood Cliffs are giving LG. And conversely, Brian, seems to me that LG is counting on the governing body in Englewood Cliffs to get it all at once. And so I really regret the need to be even at the point where the state might deem necessary to get involved. But it's not the only such instance. I mean, the state gets involved in other borderline out-of-control situations.
Paul Damasco, the mayor of Alpine, just north of Englewood Cliffs. Thank you very much for giving us a few minutes.
You're most welcome.
And let's take some phone calls as we talk about the LG Electronics Company proposal, and really it's a City of Englewood Cliffs proposal because they want to undo the whole 35-foot height limit that's been in effect for 100 years to protect the unfettered view of the Palisades and develop along that stretch of Sylvan Avenue higher if that's going to be good for economic development in the city. And we'll take some phone calls on that now from our very packed board of callers. Tony in Englewood, you're on WNYC. Tony, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Were you at that meeting last night?
I was at the meeting last night. I stood in the rain for about 40 minutes, but then eventually got in at about maybe 7:45 or 8 o'clock.
Representing yourself or some larger group?
Representing myself, but I'm also the president of the Tenafly Nature Center. We're just located immediately north of Englewood Cliffs along 9W.
And? You're opposed?
And our board the other night was, adopted a statement asking LG to lower its height, but also asking Englewood Cliffs to return to its 35-foot height limit. While their immediate change to the master plan, I think, ends at house.
Oh, boy.
The rapid way in which they change made us think that in the future, you know, we might, our new term, you know, might. Large buildings at its border that people will look out on as opposed to trees and what they see now.
Tony, thank you very much. Gregory in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hello, Gregory.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. In the 1980s, I used to take my school classes on field trips to the Cloisters Museum. And in my research, I discovered that the land of Fort Tryon Park, where the Cloisters house, was donated by John Rockefeller, who developed the museum, and he put his own personal art collection in the museum. It was given to the state of New York on the condition that they never develop it so that the people who went to his park, to the park and his museum would be able to enjoy it. He also, this is in the research, I still have the article, it's a magazine article, I still have it. I could send it to you. He also had owned, he bought the Palisades coast of New Jersey, everything that's opposite from the George Washington Bridge to up to how far, I don't know. But he did the same thing. He gave that to the state of New Jersey on the condition that they never develop it, and it was expressed so that the people who went to his museum would have a beautiful view of the opposite side. Now, that sounds to me more than just what people in Manhattan would like and would want. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's a contractual obligation, and I never heard that come up at all in this whole rigmarole.
Gregory, thank you. So Kim Ludeck from The Record, are you familiar with that history? And one of the things that I understand that complicates the situation for the environmentalist side is that there is no law preventing it other than Englewood Cliffs' own local zoning, which they are choosing to reverse. Because even though it's got National Historic Landmark status and there's a Palisades Interstate Park there, it's not like something that's governed by the National Park Service or the Adirondack Park laws in New York, things like that, that would actually give it a greater protection from development, even if that history about the Rockefellers is true.
That's my understanding. I mean, really, all LG needed was approval from Englewood Cliffs. They got it. They're allowed to build, which is why I think the Senate bill potentially could be interesting, because if they can manage to get it out of committee and get it passed, then, you know, that's something that LG would have to be beholden to.
Lisa in Cliffside Park. You're on WNYC. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Brian. Thanks. I just want to point out that yesterday, Cliffside, Englewood Cliffs posted parking signs in that downpour within a six-block radius, so there was absolutely no place to park for people who hadn't come prepared to walk for, you know, half a mile or whatever. And I thought that was outrageous. And they also kept people out of the parking lot at the school. The second thing is, I think we need to start following the money. Menendez in 2012 received a $6,000 donation from LG's lobbying group. And I'm also interested in knowing if Parisi's Connect Bank is going to profit from this. This goes much deeper. This is just real greed, New Jersey greed.
Lisa, thank you. So, following the money, journalist Kim Ludak from The Record of Northern New Jersey at NorthJersey.com. Menendez, my understanding is, has been sort of the odd liberal out here, that he has been on LG's side for this construction. But I was also told by one of the environmental activists the other day that he may be reconsidering that position or that his position wasn't definitive. What can you tell us about past campaign contributions to Senator Menendez and where he is on the issue?
I've heard that as well, that Menendez has gotten money. I would caution to say that I don't know that to be true. I haven't looked into that specifically, but I know that there are environmentalists on the other side who have also given money to people like Cuomo. So, you know, I don't know how fair it is to say that, you know, Menendez got, what did she say, $6,000, and that's why.
So if you start following the money, there's money coming from various places that you need to follow to various politicians. And how about the suggestion that Mayor Parisi of Englewood Cliffs might have some kind of conflict of interest because he's involved with a business that would stand to profit from the construction? I know that came up last night. Any proof?
I've heard that, too. I haven't looked totally deeply into the Connect One issue, but I will say that he didn't vote on either the variances or the rezoning. So I'm not, again, I don't know if there's a conflict there necessarily, because he didn't have any deciding power on getting LG to build.
All right. So. One more call. Elizabeth in Washington Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Last night, a lot of people talked about a lot of things, but one of the things that was mentioned were even people who were opposed to the project on environmental grounds and on historical grounds preceded their remarks saying things like, my father's in the union, I come from a union family, I'm really glad that whenever something is built, it's going to be a union job. So it was raised, the reporter I think is incorrect when she said that didn't come up, the idea that if the project were built lower and wider, that there would still be lots of union jobs, and there were people who had signs that said things like, build it low and build it now.
Elizabeth, thank you. And so, Kim Ludak, to wrap up, with all this opposition that I think you've described, and my impression after reading a lot about this story now, is also that LG must be taken aback by the size and the intensity of the opposition and how it's gathered steam just over the last couple of months. Governor Cuomo, Governor Whitman, six neighboring mayors, including the one we heard, the head of the National Park Service this week, hundreds of people standing out in the rain. I'm guessing they may have done this differently if they knew all this in advance. But what do you think will actually happen now? What's the next step?
I hate to speculate. I do think it does seem like they're concerned. I mean, all I can say is that LG put out ads in my paper, in The Record, this Sunday, trying to clear up some of what they believe are misrepresentations. I don't think they would do that if they weren't concerned about the reaction they're getting.
I'm going to add one more caller here because there's a few people calling in to correct, they say, a previous caller who said that this is the land that the Rockefeller family placed restrictions on when it was given. Claire in Sleepy Hollow, you know something about this?
I do. I'm the president of the Friends of the Rockefeller State Park Preserve across the river in Sleepy Hollow, and I am a fifth-generation member of the Rockefeller family. and have studied, you know, John D. Rockefeller Jr. is the person who created the cloisters, dragged all those beautiful buildings over from Europe and put all kinds of incredible art that he collected in the cloisters, and also bought the land across the river. And I'm not sure if he was the one who created the Palisades Park or whether it was Lawrence. And the member of the family who's been very involved in this effort is Lawrence's son, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
But John D. Rockefeller Jr. absolutely gave that land. I am not sure about the contract. That I've never come across in my research, so I'm not sure about the contract. But if they didn't make a contract and if it wasn't done in such a way that the townships were involved, it's a terrible oversight, because it really is going to mar what is one of New York and New Jersey's most beautiful vistas. So I feel very sad about that, and I know that there's many, many members of my family who are working towards trying to discourage this awful building.
Claire, thank you for clarifying, and thank you for weighing in. And Kim Ludak from The Record, thank you very much for your reporting and giving us this time.
Thanks, Brian.
And the debate goes on over what will or will not be built in Englewood Cliffs. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the provocative linguist, John McWhorter. We will talk about everything from Donald Sterling and affirmative action to his new book that says the world looks the same in any language, and also why he might want to stop using commas altogether in the English language. Stay with us for John McWhorter coming up next.